Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Christian friends. This is William Bell. Welcome to our Fulfill Bible Prophecy study at Blog Talk Radio. We are delighted to be with you today, and we look forward to another message, hopefully, that will stimulate your interest and give you the information that you need to help you make better decisions about Bible prophecy, help you to understand world events much better, and also to help you understand how to practically apply the message of the end time to your life today. We want to encourage you to give us a call at our number, which is 646-378-1919. Again, that number is 646-378-1919. You can call us with your questions, with your comments, or with your criticisms. We'll be happy to get you on the air to take your question. It will be live. We also have a chat room open, and we encourage you to visit us in our chat room, and you can write in your question, and we will discuss your question on the air. Today we're going to talk about a subject, and before we get to that, I'd like to also encourage you to visit us at our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. That's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. And eschatology is spelled E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. You should be able to look to the right-hand side of the of our page on the profile and find a link there. You can click on that link. We also would like to encourage you to take a look at our book, which is The Reexamination, that gives you more in-depth information on the subject of fulfilled Bible prophecy and those things that pertain to the judgment, the second coming, the last days, the end of the world, Armageddon, the rapture, etc. You'll find quite a bit of interesting information there. We do encourage you to check out the book as you have the opportunity. Now, today we have a subject for you that's very interesting, one that is spoken of within the Scriptures and that has an impact on each of us, and particularly as we study the Word of God, we find the impact and the meaning of this subject. It is one that will provoke some thought, for sure, and will help us to learn more about the coming of the Lord and about the end time. So we want to delve into this subject a little bit today and see if we can get more of what God is trying to teach us concerning our walk with Him and concerning the faith, and especially as it relates to fulfilled Bible prophecy. So let's go ahead and delve into the message today. Our topic is why naked people can't go to heaven. Why naked people can't or cannot go to heaven. Now, when we look at this subject, we want to point out that there were some people in the Bible that had a few problems with their clothing. And very early on in the Bible, you find an example or find a case where God had spoken to Adam and Eve. He had given them everything that they needed, and He told them to be fruitful, to multiply. He told them that they could eat of every tree that was in the garden, and He said to them, "But of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, do not eat of it, for in the day that you eat, you would surely die." Now, we learn that Adam and Eve ate of the tree, and the Bible says their eyes were opened, and they knew that they had sinned, but the Bible also says they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, I want to point out something as we look at this text. After they had eaten of the fruit that God had commanded them not to eat of, because he told them in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it you will surely die. But when they saw that the tree was desired or good for food and desired to make one wise, they took of it and they ate. And the Bible says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, I want to draw your attention to something in the text and have you think about this for a moment. Let me ask you, if Adam was smart enough to look at all of the animals and name them, if he was able to recognize that he was alone and didn't have a helpmeet suitable to him, and thereby, through that recognition and awareness, express his longing to God for a helpmate, and God supplied him with Eve, and Adam called her Eve because she was the mother of all living. If he knew about all of the trees that God had given him an opportunity to partake of, and all of his surroundings that he experienced, and then after being united with Eve and saying, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," a person with that much awareness, do you not think that Adam already knew that he didn't have any clothes on? Do you not think that he knew that his wife Eve didn't have any clothes on? Now, we don't know how long Adam and Eve remained in the garden, but when God said to them, or when he said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man," and God tells him, "Therefore," or the scripture says, "Therefore shall a man leave his mother and his father and be joined unto his wife," or cleave unto his wife, "and they two shall become one flesh." That is a reference to the conjugal relationship between man and woman. So while we can't say how long Adam was in the garden before he sinned, it definitely would appear that he might have consummated his relationship with Eve while still in the garden. I don't want to make a big point of that, but it would possibly be a reasonable thought to consider that he consummated his relationship with his wife while he was in the garden. And my point is simply this, that Adam knew that he was physically naked before he sinned. He knew that he didn't have any clothes on. He knew that his wife didn't have any clothes on. I think he was intelligent enough to understand that they were unclothed as far as their physical bodies were concerned. He could look at the other animals and see how the animals, some of them had clothing as far as hair or fur or feathers or whatever the case was. But he and his wife had no clothes on, physically speaking. And Adam was a very, very intelligent man. I mean, he was made in the image of God. God told them to have dominion over the earth. And so if they were told to have dominion over the earth, they had to be exceptionally intelligent to rule over the world, to rule over all the animals, to have dominion over every creeping thing that was on the earth. In other words, Adam had the knowledge where he could maneuver through any circumstance that the earth and its challenges provided him because he had been equipped with that intelligence by God. And it certainly is very reasonable that Adam knew that both he and his wife were naked. So when we look at the scripture in Genesis 3 and verse 7 that says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened." Now let's stop right there for a moment. Adam, if you look back at verse 6, the Bible says the tree was pleasant to the eyes. Adam's eyes were already opened. Eve's eyes were already opened. How in the world did they see the fruit on that tree? They already knew and already could see. So their eyes were already opened, physically speaking. They saw that it was a tree desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. That's how they could see one another. Can you imagine? You know, you think about it. Just like a husband and wife at a wedding, and she takes the cake and pushes it in his mouth, sometimes smashes it all over his face in humor, you know, demonstrating their love and doting over one another in that ceremony. Well, she gave Adam to eat, kind of a romantic situation. Sometimes when people go out at restaurants and you see a husband, you know, feeding his wife, or wife feeding her husband, or maybe you do that at home or in affectionate relationships. But the point is, their eyes were already open. They could see physically. So when the Bible says, "Then," verse 7, the eyes of them were opened, it's not talking about their physical eyes. It's talking about spiritual awareness. It's talking about their being able to perceive mentally and spiritually what their condition was. Now, since they knew that their eyes were already open and they could see before they had sinned, now let's look at the next part of the verse. It says, "And they knew that they were naked." Well, as I said earlier, they knew that they were physically naked. They knew they didn't have any clothes on physically. So then when the scripture says they knew that they were naked, it has to be talking about something other than physical nakedness. They came into the awareness that sin stripped them of their stance before God, of their righteousness before God, and they became spiritually naked. They were already physically naked. They knew that. But the scripture says, "Then the eyes of them were open," just like their eyes were already open before physically, and then they came open from the standpoint of their spiritual awakening. They were likewise awakened to their spiritual nudity, to the fact that they had on no clothes as far as their souls were concerned after they had committed sin, after they ate of the tree. So they made an attempt to cover themselves. Now, please understand the wisdom of Adam. Please understand his intelligence. Please understand the remarkable astuteness of Adam. When he perceived that he was spiritually naked, he attempted to cover himself with fig leaves. He wasn't trying to cover his physical body. He wasn't ashamed of his physical body. He wasn't ashamed of Eve. He was there with his wife. They were the only people in the world. The Bible says when God made them, they were naked and they were not ashamed. They weren't ashamed of physical nudity, just like people are not ashamed of physical nudity today. Oh, there used to be the kind of values that people have that they wouldn't expose themselves, but you can go to almost any television show or public place, and you'll find people exposing themselves nude all the time in public. And they're certainly not afraid to expose themselves in nude in private. So Adam was not ashamed of being physically nude. Eve was not ashamed of being physically nude. But they were ashamed of being spiritually naked. And so they attempted to cover themselves with fig leaves, not to cover their physical bodies. Adam realized that his soul was naked. He realized that he had lost his favor with God, and thereby he sought to cover himself with fig leaves. But one thing that is evident from the text is this: the covering that Adam made for himself was inadequate. The fig leaves were not adequate. Now, let me ask you this. See, you really have to think about this text, because there are people who wear plant clothing all the time. You go to Hawaii, you'll see people wearing coconut shells and grass skirts. You go to Africa and you'll see people wearing, now I know this, you know, these, we're talking about the uncivilized places. I'm not saying that Africa is a backward place, because, you know, that's not true today, but we know from time past, we're talking about much earlier in civilization, people covered themselves with leaves and plants, grass, all the time. And they celebrate those cultures even today. And we think nothing of it. It's not indecent if they cover themselves properly using grass or leaves or plants. Some of them, so they have used these things for centuries. So in the dawn of creation, why would it have been improper for Adam to cover himself with fig leaves? Fig leaves are pretty wide leaves, and the Bible says they sewed them together. So you could make a very strong case that they were decently attired. It was just him and his wife. But you see, there's a deeper meaning to the fact that Adam sewed these fig leaves together and attempted to clothe himself. He wasn't trying to clothe his physical body, but he was attempting to clothe his spiritual nakedness. And that demonstrated that it was inadequate. Now watch this. The Bible says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Wait a minute. Wasn't he naked from the very beginning, and he wasn't hiding? Adam wasn't hiding from physical nakedness. He was now afraid of God because of his spiritual exposure. Now watch what God asks him. Verse 11 says, and he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree?" God didn't say, now watch this now. When God asked him, "Who told you were naked?" He didn't say, "Did you look in the mirror? Did you go down to the brook and see your reflection in the water?" No, that's not what God said. Did somebody take your picture and give you a copy of it, Adam? No, that's not what God said. Did you watch yourself on YouTube? That's not what God said. God asked him this: "Who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" What was God asking him? Did you sin against me? Did you transgress my law that I gave you? And Adam said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." That was the key to Adam's nakedness. That was the key to his shame and his fear. And his apprehension about being in the presence of God. he was no longer innocent. He was now in sin. He was spiritually naked. And because of his spiritual nakedness, God brought him to judgment and cast him out of the garden. He could no longer dwell in that paradise because of his spiritual nakedness. Adam knew what kind of nakedness he had. It wasn't physical, it was spiritual. Now watch what God does for him. You see, it was impossible for man to cover his own nakedness. That's why the fig leaves wouldn't work. So here's what God did for him. Look in verse 22. Or verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now there's several important things to note in this text. God made tunics of skin and clothed them. First, God has to clothe our nakedness. We cannot do it. That's one thing Adam demonstrates. God has to clothe our nakedness. It's impossible for us to do it, our spiritual nakedness. Now, we can put our clothes on every day. We can put on our underwear. We can put on our pants. We can put on our shirts. We can put on our belts, our shoes and socks and hats and coats, suits and ties, dresses, skirts, blouses, all of those things. Jewelry, earrings, necklace. We can clothe ourselves very well, physically speaking. And I'll tell you this, God will not lift one finger today to put your clothes on. So if you plan to go outside, you're going to have to do that for yourself. But the only person who can clothe us spiritually is God. So God made Adam and his wife tunics of skin. So number two, blood had to be shed. If God took the skin off of an animal to put it on Adam and Eve, blood had to be shed. So if, in order to be properly clothed, it requires blood. A life has to be. Sin brings forth death, and the only means of removing sin is that life has to be shed. A life has to be given. And so these animal skins came as a result of putting that animal to death on behalf of Adam and Eve to make an atonement for the sin. And you break the word atonement down, it means at one ment. And so God clothed them. Now, man could not remain with access to the tree of life after he had fallen, because here's one thing that we must realize. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It only allowed man to be in a state before God where he could have the opportunity of continuing his quest to re-enter God's presence. Now, let's roll forward just a little bit. Now that we see the background of nakedness established in Genesis, all the way from Adam to Moses, that condition existed, where man's spiritual clothing came as a result of animal's blood. Now I want to take us to a passage in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because this passage gets to the heart of the matter of our subject. Now, let me give you our number to call if you have a question. The number is 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. I'm William Bell, your host. We're talking about fulfilled Bible prophecy, and we're showing you why naked people can't go to heaven. Why people who fail to wear proper clothing are denied access into the kingdom and ultimately into heaven. Again, that number is 646-378-1919. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up of life," or by life. "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Now notice that in this text, Paul likewise calls attention to a condition of nakedness. He says that in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now he's not talking about physical nakedness. This is a resurrection passage, and many people believe that it is talking about the physical body. In other words, they believe that it is speaking of man and his physical body. And thus, man will be raised in his physical body. But now I want you to think about it. If having our physical body is being clothed today, and then upon death we shed our physical body, if the physical body is our clothing, then to shed the physical body means that we would be naked because we would be without a physical body. Now, some people believe that that is what Paul is talking about. But you see, it was Paul's desire that we do not be found naked. So what does that mean? That means that if the physical body is the clothing, then we better stop dying physically because that takes us into the naked state. The Bible says, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed." Paul did not want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now the Bible says that he who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the earnest of the Spirit, or given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Now, what was he looking forward to? He was looking forward to being clothed at the parousia, or at the resurrection, at the second coming of Christ. But he was not expecting to ever be in a state of nakedness. We'll have more to say about this subject on Monday, and we want you to tune in for part two of why naked people can't go to heaven. There's quite a bit more background that we want to demonstrate. In the meantime, visit us at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. www.lastdays-eschatology.net. I'm William Bell. It's been a pleasure being with you today. I hope that you learned something that was beneficial to you. Understand that naked people can't go to heaven. We'll be back on Monday for part two. Until that time, may God bless you and keep you.